song service. I actually didn't know the count of the writer of the song, and that makes me want to look a little more into that and certainly appreciate those words. Every one of us should be so moved by the fact that God's grace is extended to us. And I pray that even in the lesson this morning, as we talk about Christian growth, that ultimately that message will be found as well. This morning I want to talk to you about Christian maturity. When we talk about local churches, we are challenged. We're working with people. People of different backgrounds, different educations, different spiritual strengths and weakness. And we're working to try to come together and grow, and it's not easy. Certainly, we talk about the home. There's such challenges to make the husband and wife one and to work together, and then to build children. This morning, I want to talk to you about maturity, about growing up, and I think I failed to get my PowerPoint up the stairs. So, Ryan, how about running that? Here we go. We'll get that up, and we'll catch up on the PowerPoint in a minute, and you've got an outline. All right, let's talk about, you know, as far as growth goes, that certainly we see in the physical realm that it's not good if there's not proper development, whether the body or certainly of the mind. There's something very, very sad as you have a birth defect or some degenerative disease, and the body and the mind is not able to progress. But spiritually, it is absolutely critical that we grow spiritually, that we learn how to discern and how to reason from Scripture, and that we learn how to deal with one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, here Paul was talking about the equipping of the Lord's church. Local churches are places where people are to grow. He says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. We must grow. But growing is a choice. Growing is a choice where we understand as a child, as a teenager, at various phases of life, there are things that we enjoyed at the level of maturity that we have. But there are times to put away childish things. Toward the end of the lesson, we're going to look at the heart of 1 Corinthians 13. But here in 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Let's look this morning as to our own spiritual development, to look from a standpoint of God's grace and God's love at our spiritual maturity. Spiritual growth really takes effort. That's why it's so important we're in an assembly like this, that we learn how to get the most out of an assembly. That's why it's very, very critical that as we, in our daily Bible study, learn how to study Scripture, learn how to grow. Spiritual growth is a choice. Sometimes, it's fun being a child. It's fun not taking on responsibility. But if you're the head of the house and you're to provide for your family and there's needs for your family, you're going to have to get away from the video games. You're going to have to get away from the TV set. You've got to grow up and be a man. Spiritually, that is true as well. It takes effort. One of the things that, again, as a local church, one of the things that limits any local church is the spiritual maturity of its members. Now, let's say if we're evangelizing, that's a great situation to have immature that come in because they're new Christians. Yes, new Christians are going to be immature and they ought to grow. But sometimes local churches are held back by those who ought to already have been grown up. In 1 Corinthians 2:6, Paul made this statement. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, you are coming to nothing. You know, as a teacher, as an elder, as an evangelist, there are some people you can't really say some things to, that they're not ready spiritually in their growth. And the very similar statement is made in Hebrews 5:11. It says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since ye become dull of hearing. And he basically laments, I would be teaching you more. We would be going further. but you haven't grown up yet. And so that's a challenge to you and I. He says, verse 12, for by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God and have come to need milk and not solid food. As we talk about reaching this world, as we talk about preparing one another for heaven, we talk about instilling faith in our children, as we talk about the really hard task in our lives, let us grow. Let you and I become more effective tools in the hands of the Lord. But we've got to choose it. It's going to take effort. It's going to take, as verse 14 indicates, reason of use to discern. It's going to be suffering that oftentimes comes about. Now let's talk about, first off, I'm going to take a verse and talk about good things about children. There are traits in children we ought to imitate. There is a sense where we always, spiritually, as we mature, that we still be children in this sense. In Matthew 18 and verse 2, then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I believe in this context, we see the humility that a child will possess. Let's look at a little characteristic of that. First off, children are known for their faith and trust. I'll tell you, wonderful being a parent. Sometimes there's great stresses. Sometimes we don't know where the money's going to come from. Sometimes we don't know exactly. We pray for wisdom in what to do. And sometimes we see dangers coming and our children are just as happy as can be because they see us and they know we're going to take care of it. That's a beautiful thing. You know, I'll never forget growing up. I wish my parents, they both died in 92. But there are times I have a lot of questions I'd like to ask them. I remember one time, this was back in the early 60s, where my dad had a back issue and he was out of work for 6 months. Now that was back in the early 60s where there wasn't very many what you'd call safety nets. And you know what I did as a kid? I went to school, I did my homework, I played ball, I did other things, and my dad was laid up and not going to work, and you know, I was just as carefree as I could be. And I look back now and go, whoa, what did my parents deal with? But you see, that's the nature of children. The children, they're with their parents, and their parents take care of things. There's just a great trust. We don't worry about things. My parents are going to take care of it. I wish we, as we look at the Lord, and I know there are things that challenge us, and I know there are burdens we ought to take. But many times in worry, we take on things we ought not. We ought to have the trust of a little child. That comes through humility. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord. If you are a Christian, the Lord knows you. He knows what's going on with your life. He holds the future. Trust Him. Find the peace that a little child would find. Another thing about children is having a tender heart toward others. You know, children are very compassionate and tender-hearted. They're quick to display sympathy. They're willing to see the hurts of others and share. I can remember as a kid, there were some things that I did I knew was mean. I knew it was wrong. I remember I took a BB and put it in a slingshot. And I hate to admit this, but I did make public confession way back then. Everything came out all right, but I went and shot the neighbor's cat. And the neighbor's cat screamed and went up the tree. And I started bawling. I was crying. I went to the neighbor. I went to my parents. And the cat was okay. But man, I can remember, I'll never do that again. But it's interesting, you know, I can think back, you know, here I was as a kid, maybe a little bit of a brat at that time, but you know, I still had a tender heart. Here there was pain and suffering. It moved me. In Romans 12 and verse 15, sorry, we've got a problem with my PowerPoint. Advance to the next slide if you could. I've got a technical issue here. Here we go. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. You know what can happen sometimes as we become adults? We can be so busy and we can be some so involved with our things that somehow we block out others. There are people around us hurting. There are people around us in pain, and we're just oblivious to it. We would be better to learn to be like children in that, to think of others. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Again, I think of the amazing grace, you know. God was graceful to me, and have a tender heart. Have that move you. And that will help us a lot. You know what? Brethren disappoint us. Brethren do things that hurt us. We'll go through time where there's disappointment after disappointment. We disappoint ourselves. May we never lose the ability to be tender-hearted, to always reach out to others and be considerate of others, regardless of whether or not they're lovable. This is just a characteristic of humility and being a Christian. And so we need to get away from selfishness. And another thing is a willingness to quickly forgive. Ah, yes. I can remember in our neighborhood the battles we fought. Every now and then, we'd get mad at somebody and we would, what we call, we went to war with somebody. You know what going to war with somebody is? That you'd snub them, you wouldn't do things with them, you'd try to pull other people from associating with them, and that lasted about 30 minutes. You know, we would do that, and then we'd forget about it. We'd play. I remember some of our football games we'd play in the backyard, man. They got rough. There was one time we got so mad at each other that instead of even trying to pass the ball down the field, we'd have somebody rush, and the person would kick the ball into them and just do punt on first down just so we could kick the ball into somebody else. And we were getting mad, and then we forgot about it, went and got something to eat, and then played longer. It's just the way that children do. We can fuss and fight, and then it's all gone. It's done. I wish adults could be that way. You know, it's a real challenge as we deal with one another. There are going to be hurts, there are going to be disappointments, there's going to be corrections, and then things may happen again, and then we may have to correct things again. But you know, that's characteristic of a heart of grace. Is we're willing to forgive, we're willing to move on. Matthew 6:12, Jesus says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do also. You will never regret doing this. You will never regret making allowances and moving on. And oh, here we are in the holidays. You know, as a kid, it's great to get to see all the relatives. But as I've gotten a little older, I find that, things can be complicated. Sometimes, you know, as you get together the relatives, it may be of getting together the in-laws and the outlaws, you know, where there's tensions and there's struggles. But you know, as a Christian, I need to be like a child. I want to go to heaven. I want others to go to heaven. I don't want to neglect sin, but I don't want to be the grudge holder carrying needless burdens and destroying myself. I need to be like a child, and I don't need to play games about it, holding grudges. Now, the heart of my lesson, I want to talk about putting away childish things. Now, we talk about being like a child, but there's a lot of things that children do, and I do believe adults do it better, and I'm not saying that as a compliment, but we can be very capable at these things. You know, sometimes children are pretty good about tattling and gossip. You know, sometimes, I did it, but Johnny made me do it, or you find somebody that's done something, and you know, I used to love to watch my brother get spankings. I'll admit it. You know, find my brother do something, and you get him a spanking. Of course, he did the same thing to me, and then he would grin in the background, and I'd do the same thing with him when we got spanked. And so there is an aspect of children. Sometimes we like to watch others get in trouble. Sometimes we try to deflect blame. Sometimes the children will tell stories to get in good standing with others. Brethren, let us watch our tongues. Let us watch our tongues. Let us pursue good of another person. Pursue good with spiritual people. Sometimes, yes, we We do not want to ignore weaknesses or sin in the lives of others, but we want to handle this in a careful and wise way. I believe Galatians 6:1 talks about spiritual people restoring such a one. There is a maturity that is needed as we deal with hurt, as we deal with our own language. Here Paul speaks of, not Paul, but David would describe what the world does. World loves to just tear somebody down. They love to speak in the background. You don't be a whisperer. You don't be a gossiper. You don't be a person that finds somebody that wants to hear something bad about another, and then you tell them that in private, hoping to stir them up. That's what the world does. David says, "My enemies speak evil of me. When will he die and his name perish? And if he comes to see me, he speaks lies. His heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goes out, he tells it. All who hate me to hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise hurt." And there's many, many other verses that talk about this. Why do I speak about another? It better be in love. It better be toward the goal, toward fixing and mending and building things. It better be in an attitude where I want them to go to heaven and I want to go to heaven. Proverbs 16 and verse 27 says, "An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisper separates the best of friends." But let me tell you what you're playing with here. You're playing with the fires of hell when you deal with this stuff. When you begin to plant bitterness and anger, you're planting the works of the flesh. And the works of the flesh come from Satan. It's demonic. James 3 basically says it's demonic. And it will destroy you. And so it's very, very important. We deal with the local congregation. We deal with people. We have to watch our tongues. Because Satan's most powerful work can be done by Christians when we do not guard our heart and we do not guard our tongues. And again, I'm going to leave the other verses for your consideration. And we just need to stay away from the idea of being idle, being busybodies, saying things we ought not. Okay, here we are. The next one I want to point out in terms of things not to be like a child, and that is the desire to be the center of attention. And you know, some children need attention. And that's some things, parents, you know, it's very, very important. You know your child. You stay connected to your child. Your child's going to view your view of them very important in their development. But you know, some children, when they don't get attention, they find a way to get attention, particularly when there's weak-hearted and weak-willed parents. Sometimes what they'll do in order to get attention is be a brat, to create trouble. It's very sad to me that here a child is not getting the proper attention, the proper relationships, that he'll do things to get attention. I wished it was just children that did that. A couple of years ago, I held a meeting at a church, and it was in the process of disintegrating. I mean, it didn't completely go out of existence. They're doing well now, but they probably lost about 70% of their membership over a period of time. And I was talking to the preacher, and he says there was at one point, as he was trying to preach on basic Bible sermons, that there had been a root of bitterness sweeping through the congregation. They weren't aware of it. There had been certain classes being taught on things that were not biblical. And the preacher was trying to preach on basic lessons, and there was public displays in the assembly by a group of women. They were just doing like this and pointing verse and whispering to one another, and it involved both old and young, but it was the old leading. There were people that sometimes would walk out of the service after a certain point was made. There was public display. Well, no question that congregation had gotten it to a point where people wanted attention. And I tell you what, they got attention. And most of the brethren that had participated in that public display are lost to the cause of Christ today. You just don't get caught up in pride and looking for attention and that not affect you and destroy you. If you've got a just cause, if there's an issue with the preacher, or if there's an issue with something, there is a way lovingly, tenderly, kindly, you work through it. But in Galatians 6:3, Romans 12:3, talking about pride, the Bible says, "For I say that the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each such one a measure of faith. Amazing grace. I'm saved by grace. Who am I? I'm a beggar. I'm a debtor. That'll cut us down to size where we can serve the Lord. But pride is insidious. You know who has the most danger of getting caught up in pride? And that is those of us who've been in the church longer. Those of us who have more Bible knowledge. Pride is more likely to come in to those who actually have great blessings. And that's why it's so dangerous. In Galatians 6:3, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let him examine his own work, and then he'll have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. You know, when we talk about our putting ourselves together, put yourself before God every day, every moment. When you put yourself before God, you see that amazing grace. You understand who you are. And you're so thankful. It's not you. It's not you that saved you. It's not you that's got to figure it all out. It is God's Word. All I do now is depend on God. I'm a beggar following God. And that's what everyone else is. We're equals. I don't have to be better than you. I want to consider you better than me, actually. Philippians 2 tells me. And when you put yourself before the Lord, I work with you. You work with me. In 2 Corinthians 10:18, for not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. As 1 Peter 5:6 says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble people, hey, I'm wrong, I'll correct it. Humble people are not arrogant when they're right. Let me give you another one. And again, we're kind of mixed together, don't they? Another one we want to avoid, and that's malice and envy. And let's particularly talk about envy. Do you know there are times when brethren have a hard time when somebody else does well? I've heard the case where a child got new shoes and some other kid stepped on the shoes, tried to mess them up because he got new shoes. I can remember one time, I shouldn't have done this. I remember I brought my coin collection to school. And I wanted to show off my coin collection. One of my neighbor kids stole it. You know, here I was, you know, kind of showing off about this and ended up, you know, it tempted another person. You know, what comes to envy, envy is a product of pride. Pride is where we got to exalt ourselves, but envy is we're looking at others. Let me tell you the characteristic of pride. Pride always, always, always looks at others. And I'm very concerned for Christians when they're upset because somebody snubs them or somebody's not friendly to them or they don't get an invite. Well, if I'm before God, you know, I certainly can be disappointed that I might not be part of what somebody else is doing, but I'm looking to God. And I'm very concerned when somebody is all upset because maybe there's something and maybe they could be mistaken in that somebody's done and they forget about God. Envy can cause you to tear down others. Galatians 5:15 says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Verse 26 says this, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let me tell you what happens when our attitude is wrong. We love to watch the person that we hate. I'm sorry to use such a strong word. They just bother me. Oh, no, I don't hate. Bible says I shouldn't hate. And you know, I'm just uncomfortable with them. But you know what happens when you hate? You love to see that other person suffer. You kind of like want to get the stick and poke the bear in the cage, you know. Of course, you need to have a cage. Poke them, yeah, and watch them hurt and laugh about it. Particularly if you have others that don't like that person. That's not good. Whether it comes from envy or whether it comes from some idea, self-centeredness, conceit, is that which will cause us to do things that we shouldn't do. And by the way, as I've said it before, it'll destroy you. You will hurt yourself far, far, far worse than anybody that you're envious at, anybody you're bitter at. You, once you give into the works of the flesh, it is you that will suffer far more. In Proverbs 14 and verse 30, it says, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Matthew 27, 18, we talk about the group that went and captured Jesus, the group that went to try to destroy Jesus, very effectively led this morning in the Lord's Supper. Do you know who was behind it? It was the Pharisees. Why did they do what they did? Matthew 27, 18, for he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. Envy crucified the Lord. We dare not play with those things. We dare not. They can destroy a local church, and they can destroy those who hold it. Romans 12, 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The Lord will bless us if we trust Him. Let me give you a couple more, and then we'll draw the lesson to a close. Let's talk about instability. Certainly, one of the characteristics of a child is they're unstable. They're here one thing, another, other. They have got a short attention span, you know. I remember Christmas. Ah, as a child, man, I can remember Christmas. I can still remember the jingles to the TV's advertisements for the toys that I wanted. I can still sing them today. And I can remember sometimes, I'll tell you what I do. You know where toys were the most exciting? Again, I'm making a lot of confession this morning. But as a kid, one of the big deals for me was finding where the toys were hidden. Oh, and it was so exciting to find them ahead of Christmas. And I want to tell you, those toys were far more interesting to me before I got them than when I got them. You know how it is when you get Christmas. You get the toys, and how long does it take for the toys to become old? It's not long at all. And you know, that's the nature of kids. And sometimes adults, you know, our attention is held for a little bit. But let me tell you what children tend to do. They tend to be here and there and somewhere. Oh, by the way, Emily and Stephen and Nathan, they never found our toys because we hid them in somebody else's house. So we had a plan, you know. It's something about growing up, you know, we ultimate security. And so there's ways of getting around. You know, we learn from our childhood, don't we, you know. Anyhow, but we talk about the instability of children. They're very changeable. That's okay. That's the nature of children. They run from responsibility. They can't finish a job. Sometimes parents are like this. But let me tell you, as an adult, if you want to build faith in your life, you want to build faith in your children, you want to help a local church grow, we need solid, consistent people that will be here, that will stand up, that will do a job when it's easy, when it's not easy, that they'll stay focused on the goal of going to heaven. In 1 Corinthians 15, 58, the Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that's a challenge. Sometimes we just have to grow spiritually. Sometimes there are those they can't go long without a crisis kind of taking them off the path, and they crash and burn. And that's part of growing up. Sometimes you just need time to grow up. But what I see in Scripture is that, yes, there's going to be discouragement, but here's what we need. A mature faith in God. I know who God is. I know what Jesus has done for me. I know where I want to go. I like it at Hebrews 10:35. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which is great reward, for ye have need of endurance, so that after having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Maturity is stick-to-itiveness. Maturity is here is what I'm going to do and be, and both in the easy and hard days, this is where I'm going to stand and is what we need. Make the ability to make a decision and stand by it, keeping one's word. And then the last point in this section is that, and I think we've already actually covered it, but children sometimes can be sullen and hypersensitive. I'll have to admit to you, there are times I'm that way. Now, Yvette knows. You know, whoever lives with you, sometimes we do act like children, and sometimes in a kind way. Larry, is that, you know, like, you know, is that really what your attitude is? And so I admit, I see it sometimes. There are things I sometimes in the night, but, You know, sometimes we're all tempted. Sometimes, aren't we? We're hurt and we want to kind of pout and we want to kind of be like a child. Understand that can be a characteristic, but we don't want it to become that which dominates us. We can become great pouters. And we can become people who can't control their spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:32, a passage on spiritual gifts. And I actually use this sometimes in study with some of my Pentecostal friends. I had one the other day. And we're talking about, you know, we can follow God's will. And here, even in the context, somebody might have a spiritual gift, but they still had to hear God's will and follow God's will. It's put this way, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. If you have the gift of prophecy here in the first century, you still had to control your spirit. No one makes me go into a pity party. That's my choice. No one makes me be carried to the sidelines by excessive emotion where I can't do anything over a reasonable period of time. There's a time for grief. There's a time for mourning. That's my choice. And so that's really important that we learn to do this. And so much of it is on focus. Sometimes we focus way too much on the negative. We sometimes focus way too much on how we're limited and what we lack rather than on what God has done and will do and has done in our lives. That's a maturing process. And we need to have joy in our Lord. And I know, again, I go talk about brethren. Brethren hurt us. But man, that does not be my focus. If somebody has hurt me or maybe, you know, like they snubbed me, didn't speak to me, I'm going to say, you know, I want to encourage them. I need to put a little extra effort, try to help them. Rather than going negative and pulling back from somebody, I want to serve. That's maturity. A faith will make allowances for others, and they'll solve the issues of the heart. Ephesians 4:26, I've preached this in about five ways already, but here's another verse. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Mature people have to learn to do that. You know what's interesting about our country? I don't know what our new leadership's going to be. I don't know the direction they're going to take us. You know, it's politics. But sometimes in history, I'm always hopeful. So let me say, I'm just hopeful. I'm always hopeful. I hope our next leader will do well. But you know, and whenever you see leadership in history, oftentimes when a new path is taken, everybody says it can't be done, and everybody is very angry and against somebody going a new path. And leadership really takes a knowledge of this is why I'm doing it, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do right. Now, again, what our politics may be is another thing, but let me tell you about the Lord's church. Let's talk about us. We are determined to do right. It's going to be hard. There will be opposition. There are going to be people questioning us. But we've got to control our spirit and do what we know is right in taking the next step. One writer says, maturity is the capacity to face unpleasantness and frustration, discomfort and defeat without complaint or collapse. Let's draw a conclusion from what we've studied this morning. And it goes back to amazing grace. How do we develop maturity? We could really sing that song and that would be good, but I chose 1 Corinthians 13. Here, this is God's grace expressed in God's love. Notice every point we made, the points we made this morning. Look at it in this verse. And the verse really is to develop the love of God in your life. When you develop the love of God in your life, notice what you get. Verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself as puffed up. There's pride. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. That deals with the tongue and gossip, doesn't it? Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. How do we grow up? Amazing grace. Amazing love. It gets us out of ourselves. It gets us into the will of God. It gets us to be like Jesus. And Jesus could see the disappointment of Peter and certainly see the betrayal of Judas as we study today at the Lord's table and see those people mindlessly but looking and always seeking for what is best for every one of those people. That is how we grow. We did a class on Christian and money recently in the college class, and we pointed out, you know, one of the greatest marks of spiritual growth is learning how to give. If I see in my life, and I'm not just talking about money, I'm talking about ourselves. As we become more like Jesus, we'll become greater givers. And there are things that we will be able to have bounce off us in time as we grow spiritually. Love will make you be like God by finding your purpose in serving. One more time, we read this verse earlier. Look at the context. Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. So after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Heaven, meeting Jesus again. This world's going to be burned up. There's one thing in my life. And let my spirit develop maturity to stand in that one thing. In Romans 15:1, what about the immature? The Bible says, if we consider ourselves mature, here's what we do with the immature. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. May the Lord help each of us in our goal to take the next step. Become adults, become mature. Amazing grace is where it all comes from. And we take this time in an invitation to extend that grace to every one of us. Are you not a Christian? We'd love to baptize you into Christ. And Christian, we can always take that grace anytime. Confess our sins. God is just to forgive our sins. He protects, He provides. This is a time of grace. Let us take the next step. Become more mature. God will bless us. What a great God we serve. We are all unworthy for what God gives us. Help us to find the faith to become more like Him. If you need to respond in any way, would you come as we stand and sing?